The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Oh, yeah, we're feeling festive here on NFL Live. Happy Christmas Eve. Hey, you don't want to miss these guys here talking about the Rams and Seahawks. Put it this way, they don't agree. Keyshawn Johnson wearing some sort of sriracha hot chili sauce sweatshirt there. We're celebrating Christmas, as you can see. Dan Orlovsky and Marcus Spears as well, feeling very much in the holiday spirit. Wow, Dan. Okay, that's a Jesus and a birthday boy. That's very good. Let's bring in Adam Schefter as well. Of course, he's joining us with Week 16. And wow, Adam, you look great. We'll leave it at that. What are you watching for this week in the NFL?
Well, Laura, I'm going to have to get into the Christmas spirit here in no time at all. But for right now, what we're watching is the Washington football team and Dwayne Haskins. He took all the starter reps today during practice. Now, Alex Smith did throw off to the side, and I think Washington was encouraged about that. I think right now it's trending toward Haskins, but they're hoping that Smith can make a recovery in time to start Saturday's game against the Carolina Panthers. Sunday's game, excuse me.
Tennessee, Green Bay. I'm looking at this Green Bay defense. Obviously, we know that the Titans are going to want to feature Derrick Henry and keep Aaron Rodgers off the field as much as possible. But I think it's going to be a lot about Tannehill and A.J. Brown and Davis downfield, Jonnu Smith, if he's available as well. I'm looking forward to see this Green Bay Packers defense and how they try to tame King Henry.
I want to watch Jared Goff value the football. Simply put, in the games when you don't turn the football over, your team wins by more than just a touchdown. In the games that you do, or the five losses that you have, you've given the ball away four of those five games. Simply put, the best way to spread holiday cheer is for Jared Goff to value the football for everybody to hear.
I see Uncle Dan. I see what you're doing right there. I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns applying that pressure to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They go take care of the Jets. And if, for some odd reason, that the Steelers lose to the Indianapolis Colts, week 17 for the division, baby.
All right, let's see if we can continue the holiday rhyming throughout the show. That's very scary. Key, that Steelers-Colts game, enormous for so many reasons. You kind of mentioned it there. One of them being that the Steelers have collapsed, trying to get back on track after another shocking loss. Of course, this one to the Bengals on Monday Night Football. And Big Ben was not holding back yesterday when he was asked about some of the chatter around how poor they've played of late. Listen to what he said.
When you play like poo, you should get talked about like that. And so, you know, I need to play better. So if I'm not giving them a reason to talk good, then I'm giving them a reason to talk bad. So that's all on me. I need to play better.
Playing like poo. Yeah, all right. We got it. Say, Big Ben and company have been trending in the wrong direction. Using efficiency, which measures success per play, Pittsburgh's been the worst offense since the last three weeks, ranking dead last in third down conversion rate and yards per rush. Meanwhile, the Colts on the other side, they rank top five in those categories since their three-game win streak began in week 13. So, Keith, these two teams really are in the same situation right now, but coming from different directions. What do you expect in this game?
Well, I'm going to be looking at Pittsburgh, obviously, Laura, because when I look at the Steelers, they were hot. They were 11-0. We were questioning, oh, with Pittsburgh Steelers-style football, this is the way they play. Right. Then all of a sudden they lose a game. We go, okay, whatever. We give them a pass. They lose another game. We start raising our eyebrows. Then they go and get the third game, and we're sitting there going, okay, now we're starting to look at the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. Now the Cleveland Browns are looking at them. They're looking over their shoulders to a point that they're now, to me, they're worried that something, they're going to be one and done in the playoffs. And I respect Mike Tomlin to the best of them. He coached me down in Tampa. Great man, great everything. But when I start looking at a head coach worried about pregame rituals from a receiver, a wide receiver, obviously, and Juju Smith-Schuster doing the things that he was doing, and now you have to address that as if that is the reason you are losing football games or a part of the reason you're losing football games, that pressure is coming. And if they lose to the Indianapolis Colts and the Browns take care of business, the Browns won 10 games for the first time since 2007. They haven't won the division since 1989. That doesn't even sound right. Imagine what Cleveland's feeling right now, guys.
Cleveland is excited right now, Key, right? That, to me, is what this is all about. Pittsburgh, 3 weeks ago, was 11-0. We're talking about whether they can take on the 1972 Dolphins. And 3 weeks later, we're talking about the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns winning the AFC North because of the opportunity that the Pittsburgh Steelers have presented them. If the Steelers lose on Sunday to the Colts, and I don't know if they match up real well to a team that brings pressure against the quarterback the way the Colts do. Oh, boy. Week 17, Pittsburgh-Cleveland for the division title. That would be something.
Shefty, if you don't hurry the hell up and put a Christmas-themed shirt on, I'm going to come over there and rearrange all your furniture and pull all your books off your bookshelf and throw them on the floor. We need you to have some Christmas spirit,
bully,
damn it.
Man.
You know, Marcus, here's the advantage of 2020. When you work from home, right, in between breaks, you can scour through the closet and see what you come up with, right?
Hey.
I'm unprepared to start the show. Let's see what I come back as next.
Stay tuned. What a tease right there.
Okay.
See what,
all right,
see
cool.
what outfit change happens cool. here. Go ahead, Marcus.
All right, El Boogie, let me talk about, obviously, what we are talking about right here. And this is the season of giving. And you know what? This Indianapolis Colts defensive line give butt whoopings all over the place. So this is not the favorable matchup for the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially with Buckner and DeNico Autry and Houston up front and how they use Darius Leonard in this pressure package that Eberflus is deploying. Listen. They ain't getting right against the Indianapolis Colts, y'all. I feel terrible for the Pittsburgh Steelers because I don't see a fix. I don't see where they're going to have an opportunity to work on anything that they need to work on to be better entering the playoffs. It's a tough challenge for anybody, man, but especially the Steelers with the way their offense is playing and those defensive beasts that they have in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and Dan, they also have some great offensive weapons for the Colts, right?
Yeah, Ruddy, I think that, like, the nation thinks it's just T.Y. Hilton, right? And I would argue that they've got a lot of pieces that are super important. They use them well. Like, it's T.Y. Great. He's awesome. But they got two other receivers that can play. Zach Pascal and Pittman Jr. Like, those two are coming along in their offense. And then they got three tight ends. Like, three tight ends that they love to throw the football to. You know, Mo Alie-Cox is a big-time red zone matchup. And then Burton's a very much so a piece that they love to use. And Jack Doyle continues to just show up and perform for this football team. And then there's two tailbacks. I mean, Hines and Taylor are both really good in both the run and the pass game. And the great thing that Frank Reich does is, like, he'll put those three receivers on the field personnel. And so as a defense, Pittsburgh's thinking, like, all right, this is going to be a throwdown. And they'll pound the football out of 11 with their run game. And then they'll put those three tight ends on the field and they'll throw out of it. Pittsburgh loves to play in base defense, so it'll stress them. I would say that Indy's got a lot of elves, right? And elves' favorite food groups, four favorite food groups are candy, candy canes, candy corn, and syrup. They got a lot of elves. Pittsburgh's defense right now is a little sweet. There's a lot of eating to come on Sunday afternoon.
You all right, Dan?
Marcus, are you disgusted?
I'm disgusted. I really am. Listen, you name some
four
good candy.
Fingers.
You name what elves do, but don't ever say candy corn. Don't ever say candy corn on our show again, Dio.
Yeah, candy corn. Not allowed here.
Don't say it again.
Hey, by the way, guys, stay tuned to see the outfit change for Adam Schefter. Apparently, he's coming with it this next block, and we'll see what that's all about. We got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back here on NFL Live, and Adam Schefter... I'm sorry. It's the first time I've seen this. Adam, I am blown away. You said you were going to go put on a holiday outfit.
Yes!
That's so good.
Unbelievable.
What is happening
Unbelievable.
Here?
Unbelievable. This guy continues to be the GOAT.
You are absolutely the GOAT. That's a whole layered situation. Adam, I'm going to pretend like we're on a red carpet here. Just walk me through what you're working with.
Well, Laura, if they're going to change outfits and wardrobes during the Oscars, I figured that's the least we could do on NFL Live during the Christmas Eve edition of it. And you guys requested that I put on some sort of Christmas outfit after opening the show in a regularly closed outfit. And so this is one of the advantages of working at home during the pandemic. You have a wife and a daughter and a son who are enthusiastic about making you look as foolish as you possibly can. And so I want to give him a shout out for making me look like this. Look, if you can't laugh at yourself in this year, in 2020, when are you going to laugh at yourself?
You look amazing. And shout out to the fam for that. You know what? On that note, Adam, let's get to your top stories. Very serious business here, starting with Ronald Jones.
Yes.
Well, if you could take me seriously during this, Laura, here's the top news of the day. Essentially, Ronald Jones, the Buccaneers running back, has been ruled out for a second consecutive week. Tampa Bay head coach Bruce Arians confirmed today Jones will not be cleared to return from the reserve COVID-19 list in time to make the trip to Detroit. That means more work once again for the Buccaneers' other running back, Leonard Fournette. As for the Washington football team owner, Daniel Snyder, according to a filing Wednesday in a U.S. District Court in Southern Maryland, Snyder claims one of the Washington football team's minority partners, Dwight Schar, is extorting him in an attempt to force Snyder to sell the franchise. Snyder made the filing one day after the Washington Post reported details of a $1.6 million settlement the franchise paid to a former employee over a sexual misconduct allegation. And Lions head coach Darrell Bevell is out on Saturday against Tampa. The man who was replacing Matt Patricia now will be replaced by wide receivers coach Robert Prince. QB coach Sean Ryan will call the offensive plays. Their defensive staff will be entirely different at this point in time. Their defensive coordinator will be Evan Rothstein, who is the assistant to the head coach, who's been with the organization for 9 years, who's never done this in a game, who went to my high school, by the way. But he will be calling the defensive plays and become the first person in the history of Belmore John F. Kennedy High School on Long Island to call plays in an NFL game.
Let's go. Hey, by the way, if you're just joining us, yes, that's Adam Schefter, and yes, he is decked out in all kinds of holiday cheer. We shift our focus to the AFC, and here's how the playoff picture currently stands. The Chiefs, Bills, and Steelers have already booked playoff spots. Kansas City in the driver's seat for that number one seed, and of course, home field advantage, so important. The Browns, Colts, and Dolphins occupy the three wild card spots with the Ravens and Raiders on the outside looking in. So a huge game between the Dolphins and those Raiders in the desert. Miami holding on to that last playoff spot we just showed you there, while Vegas would be eliminated from playoff contention with a loss or a Ravens victory. Key, does this game for Miami ride on Tua?
It does. Tua just needs to play better than he did last week. He got the two touchdowns on the ground, but throwing the football, we'll be able to see what he does against this Raiders secondary that's been bad all year long. That's important. Let's see what he does as they get ready to make a playoff push.
I'm with you. Look, I'm looking at the other side of the ball for the Dolphins. This defense has been a defense that's been driving a lot of turnovers, giving a lot of short fields, and being able to sometimes get in the end zone as well. Derek Carr and this offense presents a challenge, but I'm looking forward to seeing this front from the Miami Dolphins get after the Raiders and Derek Carr, who's hobbled, and this secondary versus Ruggs and Waller and all of those guys, see if they can continue to stand up and turn the football over as well.
Yeah, two things I'm watching this game. One, if the Raiders are going to win, I'll give you the two names that have to play well to do it: Nelson Aguilar and Foster Moreau. I think this is a difficult matchup for the Dolphins defensively. Waller's really, really, really good. And those corners are long, so they'll get tested. But I think you can get after their nickel, and I think you can get after their linebackers in the pass game. Those two guys have to play well if Las Vegas is going to win. Then Tua. Last week, I thought he played really well given what the game was needed. If Gesicki and Devontae Parker are back, I want you to push the ball downfield a little bit more. This is a defense that you can really go, all right, I'm starting to get more explosive pass game for our offense. Let me see you push the ball downfield a little bit and have success, Tua. Those are the two things I want to see in this football game.
Yeah, it would be a big help for him if Mike Gesicki is able to get out there and be healthy. That's been one of his favorite targets all season long.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Oh, man, a whole lot of history between those two teams, the Vikings and the Saints. Of late, of course, in the final part of the season, and this year it all goes down on Christmas Day. So we welcome you now to the Domino's pregame headquarters. Adam Schefter here with us for that. And what are you paying attention to, Adam, in Saints and Vikings?
Well, Laura, if you look at the Minnesota Vikings, they ruled out a handful of players today. They'll be without Eric Hendricks, their excellent linebacker, who would be key to slowing down a guy like Alvin Kamara. They'll be without tight end Kyle Rudolph, who has been declared out. They'll be without Alexander Mattison, and even their other backup running back, C.J. Ham, is questionable for the game. So the Vikings are missing some key players. On the flip side, New Orleans has some question marks at the wide receiver position. Today, the Saints placed Tre'Quan Smith on injured reserve. Michael Thomas already on injured reserve. So now the Saints have Michael Thomas and Tre'Quan Smith on injured reserve. They're going to need one of their young wide receivers, albeit little Jordan Humphrey or Juwan Johnson, to step up and make some big plays on Christmas Day against the Minnesota Vikings, as New Orleans is shorthanded at wide receiver right now.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Adam. And Keith, speaking of those young receivers, do you have confidence in Drew Brees, knowing what we saw last week? He looked, it could have still been the injury, but he did not look like the Drew Brees that you would want to see right now.
No, he didn't. Less than 50% throwing the football. He didn't look the same at all. But you got to have confidence in the young receivers. But Drew Brees has got to get them on the same page. There's no Laquan Smith there. There's no Michael Thomas. That's key to them. But there's Alvin Kamara. And when you think about it, you got one of the better players of all the National Football League on your team despite position. Drew Brees has been here before, but that's not important to me. What's important is, can you get over Minnesota spanking that butt the last three times out? Can you get over that? They've had their number three straight times. Can somehow Sean Payton and that cast of characters in New Orleans figure out how to finally beat the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, you know, sometimes seeing is believing, and then sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we can't see. I know the Saints are really good, right? Like, they're a team in the NFL that I'm like, I know what they are. But then there is a great variable of unknown. I have been seeing Drew Brees and Michael Thomas play together since September. I mean, this team is 10-4, and they've played two games together. Like, so that's, for me, it's like, I understand that this is a championship caliber football team, but there's that unknown that I just can't see. I haven't seen it this year. Drew's going to be a lot better from last week to this week. If you watched the Chicago-Minnesota game, Chicago ate them up in the play-action game. And something that this offense does really well and needs to do this weekend to help those receivers maybe get some of those chunk throws to help them get themselves open to create that void in pass concept is for that play action pass to be dominant against Minnesota. Minnesota's got nobody playing on defense right now. So this is a great game for Drew to get his second week back, for that play action pass to be a huge part of their game, some of those young receivers to get some chunk passes, and then kind of force themselves or get right headed into the playoffs.
Man, I don't know if you've been writing poetry or songs or whatever, but you're trying to be like a little wordsmith today. I don't know what's popping. I mean,
he's
it
doing
sounds
it on
good,
purpose, Marcus.
You know, but it's
movie
it's,
quotes.
This is the new day.
It's called Christmas movies, bro.
Okay, listen. Listen, the bottom line is, I want to go back to something Keith said. Alvin Kamara, right? That's the most important piece to this puzzle. That's the quickest way for Drew Brees to get comfortable. That's the quickest way for the Saints to have a guy to generate his own offense by just getting him the ball in either a handoff or a short throw situation or even in the screen game. He needs to have his imprint put on this game. And for all intents and purposes, we don't think the Vikings are going to beat the Saints. But we didn't think the Eagles would beat the Saints either. So we are in a situation right now where Drew is trying to get comfortable after being off with the injury. Alvin Kamara production has tailed off a little bit from the beginning of the season. And I expect Sean Payton to feature him with all of the guys that we just mentioned not being a part of this game.
And by the way, very important note, I am told that we are counting the amount of Christmas quotes coming out of Dan Orlovsky. We will check in on that count toward the end of the show. Let's get to the NFC West, guys. An enormous showdown between the Rams and the Seahawks coming your way. And the Rams are still wondering, how did they lose to the Jets? Man, Russell Wilson's season as well has taken a turn that didn't seem possible at some points early on. He was squarely in the MVP conversation. It's real hard to figure out which version of each NFC West team you're going to get each week, to be totally honest. But when they played before, which we can look at that, the Rams pass rush got after Russell Wilson in week 10, pressuring on a season high 46% of his dropbacks. They did it without blitzing that much, by the way. Against the Rams' standard four-man pass rush, Wilson completed just 52% of his passes with two picks, also posting season lows in QBR and yards per dropback on such plays. So, guys, this is a huge matchup, and we really struggled with our picks here. Everyone kind of going back and forth a little bit and ultimately deciding, all right, Dan shaking his head. He says he's completely 100% on his pick. So, Dan, who are you taking in this game?
I'm going to take the Rams. I'm going to take the Rams 37-27. I think Jared Goff bounces back. I think he values the football. I'm going to take the Rams to win this football game.
I'm taking the Seattle Seahawks 31-24. Russell Wilson. You got to get DK Metcalf involved. I know what happened last game. I know Jalen Ramsey is on the other side. Figure out a way to get him the ball and let him make plays after the catch. And obviously, you have Carson and Carlos Hyde back for this game, which they didn't play in the first game. And I think that run game can do some damage for the Seattle Seahawks and also help Russell Wilson and this offense have a good outing. So I'm going Seattle to win the game.
Break the tie.
Laura, watching Dan be like matter of fact with this scared me a little bit. I started to change my pick, but I'm gonna still roll with the Rams 31-30. You scared me a little bit, Dan.
You're real close there, though. I mean, only one point. You think it's gonna be really close.
I do. I should give you confidence.
It didn't work that way, Dan. Go ahead, Keith.
It, as Laura said, it doesn't work that way. Me getting confidence from you, that'll never happen. I'm not even worried about that.
Go ahead, Dan.
Here we go. We want to keep track. I'm going to put myself out there right now.
I don't think Seattle's that good.
I know they got 10 wins. They got two wins over teams that have a plus 500 record. You know, if you watch this football team and the way that teams are starting to play them, it's like, we're not going to give you the big play. And if I could give you one word that this team needs to get better at to win this game, precision. On offense, they don't play with precision right now. Teams are starting to put two defenders, a safety in a corner over to DK Metcalf. They're playing zone defense of the big play. And sometimes Russ looks the wrong way versus the coverage. Or, you know, his eyes are in the wrong way to move a defender. Or receivers' depth isn't right on their route. Or, you know, sometimes receivers have to help their other receivers get open. You know, like, if you got an outside release on a corner to widen the hole, you got to do that. And sometimes they slip inside. So I don't think Seattle's that good of a football team. I think the Rams are better. And if they both play the way they're capable of, the Rams will win this football game in control.
Oh, so you want to show your behind today because Mina Kimes not on.
That's what I thought, Marcus.
That's a fraud move. Because if she was on the show, you wouldn't be saying that. That's blasphemous when Mina Kimes is on this show.
I'll text Mina right now. Mina knows how I feel. I don't think they're that good.
It's whatever. Let me finish my thought. It's whatever. You just didn't say it when she was here. That's all I'm saying. We didn't talk about the Seahawks. I trust Russell Wilson. That's what it boils down to. If you telling me between both of these quarterbacks, who's going to get it right, who's going to bounce back and fix it, I'm taking Russell Wilson every day and twice on Sunday against Jared Goff getting it fixed. So when we look at everything that's transpired in Seattle, and then you have a great point. They do have some problems from an offensive standpoint. I trust Pete Carroll. I trust Russell Wilson. And I believe that if they go back and scout themselves in this first matchup, it ain't no way in hell you can give DK Metcalf four attempts. Not even close if you're talking about winning big games. So I'm going to go Russell Wilson getting it fixed more than Jared Goff.
Hey, don't worry, guys. Mina Kimes is watching the show. By the way, the Seahawks clinch the NFC West with a win in this game. As for the Rams, they'll clinch a playoff berth with a win or a loss by either the Bears or the Cardinals. So something to watch for. A lot on the line for this one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, so good. Marcus Spears and Annie, great job there. Hey, week 15 was rough on some teams. Who had the nightmare before Christmas? Dan, start us off here.
Yo, I cannot believe the Jets lost and lost out on Trevor Lawrence. We're talking about Trevor Lawrence, who in 3 years starting has one loss in college. It was to one of the best college football teams ever. He's run for 1,000 yards and he's thrown for 96 touchdowns. The Jets losing this game is like Buzz's girlfriend. Woof.
Oh.
Just stop, man. Stop. Listen, I'm going to Saints. They dropped two. And obviously, this is a super nightmare scenario for them, having to take a 40-plus-year-old quarterback up to Green Bay. Are you kidding me? Not good. The Philadelphia Eagles' loss was worse than you could ever imagine because they're going to have to go to the frozen tundra.
I'm going to just jump in with everybody else on you, Dwayne. I know it hurts. You heard it a million times. What the hell were you doing? You got an opportunity to show the coaching staff, the organization, that you can lead them into the playoffs, but yet and still, you want to lead them somewhere else, and you know where that somewhere else is. Get your act together, bruh.
Hey, it's been a crazy year in the NFC East, and Dallas entered as the favorite to win the division, but some poor play following Dak Prescott's injury, of course, shifted. You see how it changed toward the Eagles after 6 weeks. Even the G-men got in on the action after a four-game win streak. Washington's good run down the stretch has them with a 73% chance to win the division. So let's talk about those G-men. They're taking on the Ravens this week, and the Giants have said that Daniel Jones will be the starting quarterback for this one. Of course, he's been dealing with a hamstring and ankle injuries. Also worth noting, offensive coordinator Jason Garrett should be back in the mix. He tested positive for COVID-19, but should be back in action for the Giants. Marcus, Daniel Jones is the starter. Does it matter against the Ravens?
Nope, not one bit. I told y'all that man, Lamar Jackson, playing with his back against the wall is probably the worst possible situation any team could face. This is going to be about the Baltimore Ravens. We talked about their offense not being sufficient, talked about the passing game and the things they need to do to evolve. Lamar Jackson has literally said, I'm going to be the best player on the field. I'm going to do whatever it takes for us to win. And I'm going to remind everybody why I was the league MVP last year. And that's what he's been doing the past couple weeks. We're starting to see just a playmaker making plays. And then, too, people forget. Like, Daniel Jones is not 100% healthy. And we just can't blip off the Ravens' defense. They get after it, too. They make plays as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing the Ravens continue to play like a dog that's being attacked by a bunch of them, and they just fighting their way out, and they got the big dog in Lamar Jackson.
Marcus, it's a wrap, man. Why are you even wasting your time having a conversation about the Giants? The Giants had their opportunity.
I know.
When they made the decision to go with Colt McCoy, or go with Daniels instead of Colt McCoy, that was a wrap. I know. They went out to Seattle. They beat the Seahawks. Woo, woo, woo. I get it. I mean, it's a wrap, man. It's not even close. The Ravens doing exactly what they need to do, what their formula is, run the football and play defense. Anybody that think that the Giants got a shot, and I know you probably think that way, Dan, you need to go get checked.
He thinks that way. Go ahead, Dan.
Maybe they don't even need to go make the trip, according to y'all. Like, listen. I get it. The Ravens are a good football team. I think the Giants' defense will have a better plan than the Browns and the Jaguars did, right? We all came on television and said, what were the Browns doing, right? So, like, I think the Giants' defense can match up well. If you look at this rush defense, which is obviously something that Baltimore wants to specify in or dominate in, this is a top, like, 5 or 6 run defense. They're giving up less than 100 a game. This has become a stout unit, and so – you know, Baltimore is going to have to do something other than run the football. They've started to become a first, second, and third down run team. third and six the past 3 weeks, they'll hand that thing off. So I get your guys' point, like looking at it from just, oh my gosh, it's the Ravens versus the Giants. They'll put up a good test. You heard Joe Judge this week.
I'm not looking at it from that, man. As bad as the Ravens' offense is right now, I mean, in terms of throwing the football, think about who they're going up against, though, man. What, you act like the Giants over there with the greatest show on turf pushing the ball down the field. And Lamar Jackson is on fire right now. Come on, stop, Dan.
But Key, that is my point. If you watch the Cardinals game when they played the Giants, the score wasn't indicative of it. There was two
offense the Cardinals is working with is not even close to the running game and the power that they got over there in Baltimore. Man, stop.
I know you like Kyler Murray, I do too,
but stop it.
It's a top five run defense in NFL.
Yeah, when I'm stopping people 6 yards down the field, I just saw a clip where they had the guy fumble. He ripped off 30-some yards and he fumbled late.
Keyshawn, they give up less than 100 yards on the ground a game over 14
games. That's because
games.
They haven't played against the Ravens, man. Stop.
Hold on. Can I insert?
Go ahead, Marcus.
Can I insert into the conversation? Because I'm 100% with Keyshawn. Dan, I get it. But weren't the Pittsburgh Steelers number one against the run when they faced the Ravens? You know this run game. It don't matter where you rank that.
10 weeks ago.
Like, either you going to protect the perimeter or you going to get your head bust. Like, both of the Browns had a plan to contain Lamar Jackson. They couldn't execute it, though. Because he's went back to his original self.
Right.
I'm going to leave it at that.
I love it. Hey, guys, this is the other thing. If you want the most NFC East stat ever, well, they're guaranteed to have a champion with a non-winning record, just the sixth time that's ever happened. But if you think they have no chance whoever's going to win the NFC East, each of the past four times that's happened, that team went on to win a playoff game. So watch out. Probably be Washington. All right, Adam Schefter back here for our DraftKings plays of the day. Adam, you got some running backs to focus on, starting with Leonard Fournette.
Well, Laura, Ronald Jones already ruled out of Sunday's game or Saturday's game, whenever Tampa Bay plays, all the days blend together at this point in time. And so Leonard Fournette is going to be the Buccaneers' workhorse this weekend when Tampa Bay plays Detroit. Fournette would make a lot of sense here to be active in the fantasy world and the fantasy community if you need a running back with Ronald Jones out. Tony Pollard last week really shined through with Ezekiel Elliott inactive, and Zeke got limited work in practice, but you have to wonder if Dallas is going to step forward and play Zeke with where they are at this point in the season. At the very least, you know Tony Pollard's going to be involved, and we'll see whether Zeke is active. And of course, James Robinson's being rested during practice this week in Jacksonville, which could open the door for Divine Ozigbo, who's battled hamstring injuries throughout the course of the season. But as a running back, the Jaguars like, if James Robinson doesn't play, don't be surprised if Divine Ozigbo is featured or gets a lot of work on Sunday.
You know, I got to say, with a larger sample size here, I've decided it's the hat for me, Adam, that I like the most. It really is a nice touch.
Yeah, and Laura, one other note. George Kittle is expected to play this week. It's not going to be in a full-time role, but the 49ers are going to get him back here in Week 16.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson. And Derrick Henry heads to Lambeau, projected by IBM to finish with just over 25 fantasy points against the Packers. That's the third most among running backs this week. Henry looking to win back-to-back rushing titles for the first time since LaDainian Tomlinson did it from 2006 to 2007. That's what you should be looking for with your fantasy lineup. So, Dan, these two teams in the Titans and the Packers have a lot of similarities. They're kind of like mirror images of each other. What do you think will keep this game tight?
Third downs. You know, what quarterback performs best on third down? You said it. They're very much so mirror images of each other. You know, run the football early on in the game, play action pass, try to get the lead, and then really let that run game dominate. And so I think both teams can do that. But what quarterback plays their best on third down will go a long way to determining who's going to win the game. Because two or three more third down conversions is going to give you another 6-7 minutes of time of possession. Both these teams excel at that. And so I think both run games will be good units. And both quarterbacks will have really good success in their play-action game. But who can play the best in the drop-back game? Listen, I know everybody's going to come on and talk about, all right, Green Bay, like, show me your run defense can finally do it. I'd say the same thing about the Titans. You know, they're 10-4. Show me that your pass defense can somehow make a stop.
Yeah, D.O., for me, it's styles, man, right? Like, it's almost the boxing analogy. Styles make fights. And whoever takes precedence first, I believe, is the ones that are going to win. And to your point, like we say it all the time, the Tennessee Titans should run the football, Derrick Henry, and bleed clock and keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline. But I want to add something to that. They better score touchdowns. Because when Aaron Rodgers gets it against what we've seen this pass defense be that you mentioned, he is definitely going to score a touchdown. So I'm looking forward to seeing the plan with the Titans. I don't think they have to be going to this game saying we want to give Derek the ball 40 times. We want to give Derek the ball enough to pound and punish the Green Bay defense to make these linebackers pay attention to it and then give A.J. Brown and Davis a shot over the top. One of the matchups I'm really intrigued to see this weekend more than most is Jair Alexander when he's matched up against A.J. Brown potentially. Sure. So it's a lot of things that needs to transpire in this game, but I want to see if this Titans can, they can hold the ball, but also score at the end of those drives as opposed to punting to Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers is going to ball.
Marcus and Dan, y'all both know the Tennessee Titans aren't going to change what got them there. They're going to run, just like you said, Dan. I'm one of those guys. They're going to run the football. They're going to run the football. They're going to try to get the lead because if they don't for some reason and all of a sudden they got to play from behind, they're going to be in trouble. They understand that. They know that. Keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline. That is your best defense if you're trying to win this football game. We all three of us play football, man. You know they're not changing.
Yep.
You know they're not trying to get into no shootout.
Well, and both of these teams averaging 30 points per game, it'll actually be the latest matchup in a season between two teams averaging 30 per contest since the 1970 NFL-AFL merger. Time for one more thing before we go, and for that, we bring you Santa Spears. Take it away, Marcus. Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's get it popping. Y'all know what time it is. First and foremost, I got a naughty and a nice list, and I'm finna give y'all my naughty list. And it's the damn Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have no idea why this team hasn't become a better offensive unit. Bruce Arians has said all he can say. We know Tom Brady struggles under pressure. We know that they need to run the football and have a little short intermediate passing game and then go over the top. But they decide not to do the damn thing all season long until it's crunch time so they were able to come back. I'm going to put somebody on my nice list, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's DeAndre Hopkins. You know why? Because DeAndre told y'all, I don't need the damn practice. Go look up them numbers. 103 catches for 1,324 yards. I catch Hail Marys, whatever you want to call it. I beat man-to-man coverage. I got the strongest hands in the league. I'm a 50-50 ball winner. What else the hell do y'all need me to do? He's on the nice list. DeAndre, you can get all the gifts you want, bro, and you negotiated your own contract. And last but not least, Adam Dang Schefter. For you to put on this outfit and grace us on this NFL Live show looking like that, I could not dismiss you from the nice list. Shefty, you get whatever you want, man.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.